Hi there, Kelly Kay.
Hello.
Ah, there you are. All right. So, I don't know if you saw any movies over the weekend or not, but the number one movie over the weekend was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. But that's not my point here. My point is the number two movie in the country was Cocaine Bear.
Oh, well.
And
I mean, that says a lot, doesn't it? Because I think Jesus Revolution was also in the theaters.
Well, that was number three, I think, at the box office.
Good. All right.
Yeah, so I guess it blew away projections at $23 million over the weekend, landing in second place. Now,
yeah, I don't think anybody thought that like hordes of people were going to go to the theater to see that movie.
Right. Maybe waiting to catch it when it comes out on streaming services or things like that, if you're that interested in it. But anyways, Cocaine Bear, obviously, it blew away the critics and just expectations. So, not really surprising that there's already knockoffs in the work.
What? What do you mean by knockoffs?
So, from the makers of Sharknado.
Oh, gosh.
If that gives you any idea as to where this is headed.
This was kind of already on that level just to begin with, right? It looked like it from the trailer.
There is going to be the Attack of the Meth Gator.
Oh, come on now.
Now, this is all made by the same type of company. Like I said, they made Sharknado movies. So, with Attack of the Meth Gator, they also have movies in their repertoire like Snakes on a Train.
Oh, wow. They made that one.
No,
that's kind of legit, isn't it?
No. You're thinking of Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, you're right.
This is Snakes on a Train.
Let's just cover all the modes of transportation. They need to now follow up with Snakes on a Bus.
Snakes on a Moped. Yeah, I know. Ape versus Monster, Transmorphers, Paranormal Entity, and Sinister Squad are all in this movie company's arsenal there.
Oh, so never heard of any of them.
On the heels of the rousing success of Cocaine Bear, the Attack of the Meth Gator. I actually saw this tweeted out over the weekend, and I was thinking this was actually a parody. I was like, nah, there's no way.
It's real.
Yep, Attack of the Meth Gator. So if Cocaine Bear is your thing, maybe you haven't seen it, maybe you're thinking about seeing it. Hey, it was the number two movie over the weekend at the box office, so I don't know if that says anything.
Wow.
But
here's the thing. The real test, I think, is always the second weekend at the box office, because then, you know, usually the people that did see it opening weekend are telling their friends,
right,
is it worth it or not?
Right,
and
exactly.
I'm going to be shocked if they're saying, yes, go see this one at the theater to all their friends.
You mean Cocaine Bear?
Yes.
Interesting. See,
yeah, I mean,
I've seen people who have seen it. They say, you know what? It's surprisingly more funny than I thought it would be.
Really?
Yeah. And, okay. And I was kind of in the same camp you were, like, okay, this is just for name and it's going to be campy and stupid. And I don't know if I'm going to get it or find it funny. But of the people, there are a couple people that I know who saw it. They were like, you know what? It'll surprise you.
Wow.
So, I don't know. So, anyways, it could be legit that it is number two movie over the weekend. So, anyways, look, I've never faked a pee test. I've never even had to take one, you know, for my...
Okay.
Well, for, you know, I know that there are a lot of employers who require their...
Urine test,
yeah,
yes.
for sure. So, okay. I've never had to take one, which is surprising because in radio, I mean...
You would think they should start requiring
They should probably
that.
Start. but I feel like even I know this is not how you do it.
Okay, there are do's and don'ts of these kinds of tests.
Someone should have told Shannon that, to be fair.
Oh, poor Shannon.
Now, if you're listening for the very first time, welcome. My name is Ben. That is Kelly.
Hi there.
This is a Setting the Bar story, which is, Kelly,
it's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Look, never faked a urine test. Never needed to even take one. But the first thing I'd think you'd need is a clean sample, right?
Sure. I mean, that's how you pass that.
Right.
Right.
Something needs to be tested. There's chemistry involved, right? Not just kind of like an eye test, right?
Yeah.
Well, Shannon should have been told that. Because if you can manage to make it through the day without faking your urine test by using soda and tap water, you're doing okay.
Let me guess. Did we water down some Mountain Dew? Because it looks like pee.
We don't know exactly the soda, but yes, that's where my mind went. It went to either Mountain Dew or maybe some ginger ale or something.
Or Mellow Yellow.
Maybe, perhaps. But yeah, what state do you think this happened?
Florida.
Yes, Florida. Shannon, she has been charged with urine testing fraud, which...
Oh, that's a thing. Yeah, you can get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Oh, not just not getting the job.
Right,
I mean... getting in actual trouble.
She needed to provide a drug test and knew that she was probably not going to pass. So she was like, you know what?
Okay.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to fill up a little pill bottle with soda and tap water, hide it, and then during the test, just use that. Now...
There you go.
She was actually caught faking the test in the moment.
They saw her pour the soda in the...
Oh, my gosh. They saw her pour the pill bottle of liquid, you know, in the sample, right? But...
Got it.
Either way, she wasn't going to get away with it because the, like we said, soda and water mix would have surely ruined in a failed test or resulted in a failed test.
Now, I've seen a lot of people, like, get friends they know would pass the test... to pee in a cup for them.
One of my favorite examples that went around the radio world, there was a personality, not here in Louisville, who had to take a test. Maybe their company, our company doesn't do it, but their company had random drug tests or whatever. And so used a friend's, well, turns out they said, hey, congratulations, you're pregnant.
Oh, and then let me guess, he wasn't a woman.
It was a guy. Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's awkward.
Awkward.
That's awkward.
I mean, that would have.
You guys must have switched the samples or something.
Anyways,
your system fixed.
Look, I've never had to do one of those, but the first thing I think I'd probably try to do is actually find real. Urine to use.
Okay, so Mountain Dew's not going to work.
Mountain Dew and water not going to work, yeah.
Got it.
All right, so
good note.
If you can manage to make it through the day without faking it by using soda and tap water, you're doing okay.
Good note. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon.
For that life lesson.
For the life lessons here on Setting the Bar. Kelly, think back to when you were dating.
Okay.
Who typically would pay? Would you go Dutch? Would you... expect the guy to pay? Would it depend on who asked who?
I've heard arguments for whoever asked pays, but I always had the guy pay, and it was never a thing. It was never a discussion. Like, he paid.
Right. All right. Hannah, she went out on a date this weekend with the coworker. Well, here, I'll let her explain. Go ahead.
So I went out with this guy from work, and we went to dinner, and the moment we get to dinner... he starts complaining about the prices on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And when I order a drink, he just makes this noise like, and then at the end of the meal, he just sits there and kind of waits for me to also take my credit card out of my purse.
Oh.
I thought, well, you asked me out. You have to pay. That's just it. It's like, whoever does the asking out, you pay. And stop complaining about money the whole time.
Mm.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
I thank you, by the way, Hannah, for telling us about that.
Agreed with all that.
Yeah, I mean, is this an? I don't know. Is this a normal thing in 2023?
I don't think so. I feel like, again, you ask someone out, you are treating them to a meal. Are you not? I feel like that still applies.
Well, their expectations were definitely different.
Apparently.
About
and
what
also,
was going to happen.
You don't spend the date like complaining about the prices of the place that you chose.
Well, so I thought it was interesting that, okay, so he's complaining about her when, or, you know, he's making an audible noise whenever she orders a drink because, you know, he's seeing dollar signs. Oh, these are full
are
of calories
cheap.
And they're
it's
also
$9
just $9
cocktail.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, she's ordering another one.
Yeah.
And then, but like, I could almost justify that in my head if he were picking up the tab. But then at the end, he's wanting to go Dutch. Like, who cares?
You don't ever do that in the date. During the date, you don't sit there and audibly complain about the prices in front of your date. Doesn't matter. That's rude. Probably not going out with you again.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to make sure that you don't go out with that person again, then do that.
Rex, the dump truck driver, texts us and said, well, it really all depends. If she asked me out and, you know, where we're going, I'll go Dutch. If we want to like go see a movie, I'll let her pay for dinner. I'll pay for the movie. But if I ask her out, I pay for everything. Yeah. I mean, I get that.
Okay. Yeah. It was Jessica says, is she sure it was technically a date? Maybe he assumed it was more of a casual friend dinner because in that situation, I would understand each of them paying for themselves.
You know what? That is true. Because if they if they know each other at work, then maybe it was like, hey, do you want to go grab drinks? You know,
yes.
And it was, or just, hey, do you want to go, you know, grab something to eat?
If it's a friend, coworker thing, whatever, then I'm going to expect to pay my portion. But if it's a romantic date that he has asked her on and that is clear to both parties, he should be paying and not complaining the whole time.
Did they talk about work? I mean, was it a work thing? I mean, these are some unknown things, but yeah, Jacqueline says, personally, I've always either paid my own way or offered to split the check if he automatically tried to pay. It's just how I was raised. But if he paid
exactly.
This time,
you can
I would pay
offer,
next time.
But I think that you're still expecting him to pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's asking you out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she's got a point. I think, you know.
At least the first date.
Yeah.
And then if you start dating and you're in a relationship, you can start to split some stuff.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, hey, Hannah, thank you for reaching out. And hopefully, well, it doesn't sound like the way it ended, there's going to be a second little rendezvous with them. But if there is, you know, maybe you...
I don't think she's going out with them again. She sounded angry.
She did.
She was like... At least.
Well,
yeah,
and it sounded
not going
like,
out with them again.
You know, Hannah sounded like, you know, she had been treated to dinner and drinks before from... you know, various people. So, you know, maybe that was her expectation and her thought of, all right, you asked me out, you pay.
Okay.
And I can get where that could be a little awkward to bring up where you're like, are we splitting this? How are we doing this? I mean, I get that can be a little bit, you know, awkward to bring up, but sometimes you got to do it, right?
I just feel like as a rule of thumb, if a guy is asking a girl out, expect to pay. Don't make it awkward and you know, say, hey, can you pay half? Just, I don't know. First date. Yes. I don't think that you're going to get a second date if you're not going into it expecting to treat her
now
to at least one meal.
Now, Okay. Give me just a minute. And I'll tell you why I made that very statement to a girl who wasn't my wife.
Are you on a date with this person?
Yes, coming up, all right? It's so bad. Hannah had gone out with this guy from work, and he immediately started like complaining about prices. And at the end of the dinner, he waited for her to pull out her credit card, even though he had asked her. And she's all like...
Whoever does the asking out, you pay. And stop complaining about money the whole time.
she
sounded a little tense about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all kind of said the same thing. We're like, hey, you know what? If you ask someone out, even though it's 2023, probably the expectation should be on you, the asker outer, to pay. Now, we did hear from a lot of women who were like, hey, I never assume anything just to avoid that awkward situation, you know. Got a text from Natalie that said, I've always brought cash just in case, even if the guy paid and everything. I'd rather not go through that embarrassing scenario. Yeah, well,
I mean, that's true. That's a really good point, just to kind of, you know what, it's always a nice gesture to try to offer at least.
Okay, so this,
but I don't blame her for being a little miffed.
So this happened to me. I was in college. We hadn't like dated, and this was before I met my wife. We weren't like dating. We were just in a few classes, and we decided, and I said, hey, let's go out and like get some drinks or something like that, get some dinner, get some drinks or something. And she was like, yeah, cool. So we go and, you know,
getting drinks and dinner.
Yeah. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. And I had the best of intentions.
Oh boy.
So it comes time for the check. I grab my wallet. I open it up. I realize I don't have my debit card with me.
Oh,
I had taken it out and I'd put it in like a pair of shorts earlier in the day because, you know, whatever, I was working out and I just needed my debit card and I never put it back in my wallet.
Oh, so you had like no other forms of payment either.
And I, no. And I had cash, but I didn't have enough cash. And so I go, I look up and I'm like,
oh, wow.
I had to just completely swallow my pride and be like, hey, I had every intention of paying. But
and she's like, sure you did.
But I have no money.
Oh, no.
And now I was lucky and that was, and she was like, no, no worries. I got it. And she kind of laughed about it. And so she ended up paying. And so It did provide another like opportunity in the future where I was like, hey, I owe you, so we can maybe do this again. And, you know, so that was.
Did you do it again?
I don't think it ever happened again.
Did she think it was a date? Did you think it was a date?
We didn't establish it as one.
Okay, but drinks and dinner.
Yeah,
though,
it was just
feels
like, hey,
like that's a date.
Let's grab some drinks, dinner, something like that. It was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, that type of thing. We never said, hey, do you want to go out on a date? It wasn't ever anything like that. So,
okay.
So I was guilty of that very thing, but it doesn't sound like Hannah's guy from work was in that same boat.
He had the capacity to pay. So that's another cautionary tale. Like, hey, right. If you do ask someone out, double check before you leave the house. You got methods
you got
to
the
pay.
You got the money. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly Kay.
So this is a really good one. Three high school seniors in Texas changed this man's life. He's Mr. James.
Mm-hmm.
He cleans the halls of a high school in Callisburg, Texas, not because he loves to work, but because he had to get a job come out of retirement last month because of the rise in the cost of living.
Mm.
Three students noticed. They were moved to do something. One of the students, Banner, said it was just so sad seeing an 80-year-old man having to do things that an 80-year-old shouldn't have to do.
Right.
His friend Grayson shared a TikTok video that showed him cleaning the halls and started a GoFundMe, you know, just to try to get a little bit of help. They raised $10,000 in the first 12 hours, most of that coming from the students.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is.
And then it started to gain some legs.
Okay.
Surpassed $244,000.
Ah, that's amazing.
That's fantastic. And another one of the students, Marty, said, it's just crazy to see. We knew people would want to help, but we didn't know it would blow up like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, see the story on our website, WDJX.com.
Come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
We've got this message. It's from Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Be gentle with this one. Hi, Ben and Kelly. I don't want this to come off as trampy.
Okay.
But I'm dating two men.
All right.
I started dating them each about the same time. And since obviously I wasn't exclusive with anyone or in any way obligated, didn't seem strange to go on dates with both men.
Right.
That's what dating is, isn't it?
Right.
But now about 7 months in, I find myself liking them both, hiding each from the other, and not really sure how to choose who to stay with and who to let go. But with holidays a few months ago and how frequently they want to spend time together, it's getting harder and harder. So how do you choose? How long can you date multiple people before it's considered cheating? Has anybody else been in this situation?
Okay.
You big slut. Good for you.
Okay.
I mean, if I am one of those guys and I found out that you had been dating someone else the entire time that we'd been dating, yeah, I would probably have some feelings about that.
Oh, yeah. 7 months in, sure. Got a text. I was casually dating around and probably seeing around four guys at once. One of them I'd been seeing maybe 6 months and like twice a week. I was seeing my current boyfriend at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Is she wondering if they're dating or making sure it's okay to see others? I don't think anyone can assume nowadays, especially with the guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think she's asking, how do you choose between the one? Which we can't answer that question for you.
No, but I think she's probably just going to place the blame on the guys. Just like, well, he didn't, like, ask me if I'm dating anybody else.
Now, Justin says the moment you have the talk with your partner, then it's cheating. But sounds like no cheating here.
Oh, okay. So he's like, you go, girl.
When relationships begin, a lot of times it's not like you don't have that immediate talk like, hey, what are we? Are we boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yeah. No, I mean, we just say, let's just see what happens. Let's not put a label on it. Let's just see how it unfolds.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But at what point do you have that talk, I guess? Because Lisa said 7 months. Did she say 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
That's not dating around. That stopped at about 5 months ago.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I think a lot of people are suggesting, why don't you have that conversation of, hey, what are we? And maybe you need to better define that to them, what they are to you.
Do you ask them to get their opinion of what you guys are?
Yeah.
Yeah, you try to test the waters of, is he assuming we're in an exclusive relationship?
Right.
I mean, if she's thinking about this at this point, she needs to figure it out. She needs to write a list, pros and cons, whatever it takes to figure out who she sees herself with the most.
But Monica did ask, has anyone been here and how did you approach it? So we'd like to hear more of your stories about that, okay? 502-795-1997. So Monica reached out. She's been casually seeing two different guys for the past 7 months. Likes them both. Not really sure how to choose who to stay with, who to send on their way. Now she's at the point for her where she needs to know, hey, how long can I do this before it's considered cheating?
Many people said like 5 months ago, it started to be cheating. Nikki said, tell them about each other. See who's stupid enough to stay with you. That's how you pick. You passed the point of cheating about 5 months ago, and they both deserve better.
Stupid enough? Yeah. Don't say that.
It's a little harsh.
I was going to say, but Monica's just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, Stacy said in the beginning, you're right, it was fine. But what do these guys think your status is now? You better choose quick before you lose them both, because if you're hiding, you're cheating.
Mm. Okay. Hey, Amanda.
Yes, I think it'll work itself out.
Okay. You just think, okay.
Why put a timer on it?
Why put a timer on?
All
it'll
right.
work itself out.
Yes.
So, Amanda, have you been in this sort of relationship where you're straddling two different relationships at the same time?
Possibly.
Okay. All right. Well, I like the way you talk, Amanda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Allie says, look, the guy I was seeing 6 months for 6 months was more fun with like drinking, going out, hanging out with people. My family knew of his name, but never met him or anything. The boyfriend I am with now was sweeter, kinder, more understanding, and his gestures were more genuine of wanting to know me. So she needs to see how they are together. If her friends have met them, she needs to see if they see one as toxic and the other one as a keeper.
That's a really good point. Like, have her friends or her family met either one?
Right. And that a lot of times they can, again, without emotion, they can be like, yeah, he's no good. Or, yeah, that guy's a keeper.
So. Exactly.
All right, Monica. Hey, well, good luck in all that. Again.
You big well, slut. A lot of people, good for you.
A lot of people did point out they might be dating others, too. So maybe it's good to just kind of have a little
conversation.
State of the hey, where are we?
Yeah, where are we?
Yeah, with both. And because they may be approaching it the same way as her. Mm-hmm. You never know. 7 months in, we should probably be clear on that, especially she feels like she needs to hide. The hiding is the problem.
Yeah. All right. Good talk. Thanks, Monica. I'm going to play a fun little game. It's called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Let's introduce you to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. Stephanie's calling it from Old Louisville. Has brown hair, drives a Dodge, is having fun doing Instacart, which, man, I feel like that's something that I could do well.
I've never done it.
Like, oh, you've never actually ordered Instacart?
No, I have not.
Oh, my gosh. Kelly, it opens your eyes.
I know.
Okay. Stephanie is single. Kind of seeing someone, but not ready to commit just yet. So, okay.
How long? Is it 7 months? Or
no, never would I do 7 months. I was listening to that, and I was like, if we're not in a relationship at like 5 months, this is not going to work.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. All right. So now, Stephanie, real quick, is this an internal clock that you have? You're not communicating this to the other person, right?
Well, it's just more of a personal boundary that I have for myself. Like, if I'm going to be respected, and like my thoughts would be needed to be heard, and like I'm down for taking things slow.
Right.
However, if I like you, I don't want to take things slow for a year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Get sure. It. Yeah. Understood.
All right. Kelly's going to describe how the game works.
Okay, you're going to hear three stories. You have to figure out, did that story happen when the person was a little kid or a drunk adult? Really difficult to tell sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. First one.
So I ran out on the basketball court during the Final Four, and I caused the game to stop.
Oh.
Oh.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
That's what she said.
Okay, I'm going to say little kid.
Okay, Kelly?
I'll agree, little kid, yeah.
Really? You're both saying little kid?
Yes,
okay.
I think so.
The Final Four, the security would be insane for an adult to do it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What was it?
I was a little kid. And
yes!
Went to...
Yeah, there it is. You guys were both right. You got it.
Like, the Final Four one year is I grew up in the basketball family, and I got separated from my parents when we went to the concession stand for snacks, and I was freaking out because I couldn't find them. So, you know, I thought I would run out to a referee for help. But the game had to be stopped, and it was this big ordeal, and my dad was absolutely mortified. He was mortified. Yeah, and that was the last time that we sat courtside until... I was in high school.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I mean, I will go talk to that nice man in the black and white striped shirt.
Right.
He looks like he
knows a thing or two.
Where mommy and daddy are.
All right. Good job. You're one for one. Here we go. Next one. Little kid, drunk adult.
I picked my nose with some chopsticks and ended up at the ER.
Wait a second. Oh. Let's marinate in that for a sec. The visual is on point in my head.
It's like one of those weird ER stories.
Listen, I could tell a story about my wife right now, but I'm going to spare her the embarrassment.
Gosh.
Please don't do that to her.
All right, so thank you.
I'm going to say drunk adult.
All right, you're saying drunk adult. Kelly?
I'll say little kid on this one again.
Okay.
I was a drunk adult.
Drunk adult, yep. Drunk adult. Chopsticks up the nose.
It was back in college, and we'd ordered takeout, and I felt this tickle in my nose, so... Decided to use the blunt end of the chopstick to go booger hunting.
Listen,
oh God.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with his method here. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with this whole method.
And I guess I was a little rough, and all of a sudden my nose started to bleed. I couldn't get it to stop, so I had to go to the ER, and they finally got it to stop. So I guess the lesson is don't stick foreign objects up your sniffers, kids.
Okay. It's a really valuable life lesson.
Aww, I love
that.
That
could be a bumper sticker.
I love that we are having life lessons with this.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Stephanie, you're doing very well. You're 2 for 2. All right. Let's see if you can round it out with a perfect score. Little kid, drunk adult.
I slipped off a concrete bench while I was trying to mack on this girl and broke my arm.
Oh.
Ooh.
Flipped off a concrete bench while macking on a girl, broke his arm. That's an interesting flirting technique.
It is a little.
I'm going to say little kid.
All right, you're saying little kid. Kelly?
I'll do drunk adult.
Oh, all right. Kelly's just being cantankerous. That's all she's being.
Yes, yes, she is.
All right. So is it a little kid, Stephanie says, or drunk adult? So says Kelly.
I was actually a little kid.
Yep, little kid, look at you.
I'm trying to throw her off and it's not working.
Perfect score, Stephanie, perfect score.
And the girl I was trying to mack on was Mrs. Teacher's assistant. Oh. I was like in 7th or 8th grade and she was fresh out of college. I just remember thinking she was the hottest girl I had ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
During recess, she was out as a monitor and I remember trying to be all smooth and I was standing on a concrete bench trying to talk to her and then not paying attention where I was on said bench. I went too far to one side, slipped off, and broke my arm. I have never been more embarrassed in my life.
Poor guy.
Bless his heart.
And he probably didn't even get the girl.
Probably didn't get it. Probably shouldn't have gotten the girl.
Probably. Well, this is true.
I mean, this is true.
He's...
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, Stephanie, perfect score. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You got yourself some free tickets.
I'm so excited. I'm not even going to keep them.
my ex-fiance happens to be a huge fan.
Oh, you are gifting him
you.
To your ex? Wow.
Yes, we're still very good friends. I mean, after a 3-year relationship, you just don't lose the friendship.
That is very mature. I don't know if we've ever in the history of the show ever had anyone win a prize for an ex. That is well done.
Yeah, I was going to say, your maturity is way beyond this show. So yeah. Congratulations, Stephanie. Hang on the line. I got to get a little bit more information from you, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Thanks for playing.
I love that. Everyone. See, everyone should have healthy relationships with their exes.
I know. Wow. We've learned so many lessons with this segment.
We have.
All right. If you want to be the real star in Little Kid Drunk Adult, we need your submissions.
Yeah. So give us a little headline. Reveal the answer, finish the story, email it at bennettandkellyshow@gmail.com.
You can do this every hour, Kelly K.
It's a great story. An 8-year-old named Kazen has come to know Devante from eating breakfast a lot at a Little Rock area Waffle House in Arkansas.
All right.
He said Devante is a hardworking dad, has 2 little girls and a wife. And when he found out that Devante has to walk or get a ride to work every day, he knew he wanted to do something to try to help. So he got some assistance in setting up a GoFundMe, saying in the description that Devante was looking for a decent-priced car, but finding mold in their apartment has set them back. After 5 days, their fundraising efforts gained enough attention to more than double the $5,000 original goal.
Mm.
And now, Kazen and his family are helping Devante get into another rental property, too, get away from the mold situation.
Mm.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
You can see the story on the website, WDJX.com.
Good stuff.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
Look, it's 2023. We've got to know that people are meeting each other in non-traditional ways, right?
No judgment.
Yeah. So how important is it how someone meets their partner?
It's not really important as long as you guys meet and hit it off.
Yeah, well, apparently it
unless
is for...
Unless it's at a family reunion.
What? Is that the nicest guy? I mean, we're only slightly related.
First cousins. That would be a red flag, I think.
I mean, maybe. Caution flag. Let's just say a caution flag. Maybe not red flag,
right.
Just a caution flag.
Right. Caution flag.
Yeah.
Yes, a yellow caution flag.
Yeah, because, you know, they could be at your family reunion for a reason other than the fact that you guys are related, you know?
Exactly.
Maybe.
Well, unless they're someone else's date, then also probably frowned upon.
Again, caution flag. Just a caution flag, we're saying.
Okay.
Can we just say caution? We don't have to shut it down completely, do we?
You know what? I don't know if there's many scenarios where it's not a red flag at the family reunion to meet someone. I don't know.
Someone is just who's just moved to Louisville from outside of the state, and their first experience with Kentucky, and they're just learning the roads, and then they hear us, advocating for... Yeah. Dating at a family reunion.
That's, like, that's not a good look.
And they're like, hang on a second. Where did I just move to?
It's fine, though. No, it's not banjos. We have teeth. We are wearing shoes. We don't date our cousins all the time.
Speak for yourself. Anyhow. Where are we going with this? Oh, Lana.
Yes, Lana needs help.
Look, how important is it how someone meets their partner, right?
Right.
We're just saying there could be some caution flags if you meet this person at a place like a family reunion.
Can we make it clear Lana's not at a family reunion?
All right.
Can we make that clear from the get-go? Lana's like, you know what? Guys, I don't need your help. Thanks so much.
On second thought, don't help me. Thanks. I'll figure it out on my own. I'll figure it out on my own. At Ben and Kelly Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, great place to get a hold of us. Send us a DM. We'll turn around, toss it out to our listeners, see what we can do for you.
Yeah, Lana said, hey there, Ben and Kelly, got a question. My boyfriend Sean and I met online 6 months ago.
Okay.
We're now at the stage where we're meeting and going out with each other's friends and coworkers, and the question, how did you meet, is coming up.
Sure.
Sean prefers his friends and family not know that we met on an online dating site.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have been upfront with my circle of friends. I would rather get our history straight before these groups meet each other.
No.
So how do we balance his need for privacy with my openness? I'd also like to use this as an example to destigmatize online dating for all my single friends.
Oh, well, then there's
like
that.
It can work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's 2023. Why, that's, I feel like that's becoming a traditional way of meeting someone.
I know. Is there the stigma that used to be there? Like that was only for desperate people?
Online dating?
Yeah. I don't think it's that bad of a thing anymore. I think at the very beginning, it was kind of viewed as, well, if you're really desperate, that's where you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the case anymore. I think that, you know, people are so busy with things and it's hard to meet people organically,
right,
just out in life. And so this is, I think, a great way for people, not only to meet people to date, but to meet people when you move to a new city, people
right,
to make friends, to hang out with, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that stigmatized, it is not as big a stigma, but maybe in Sean's eye, it
yeah,
still is. So
yes,
I guess
he's embarrassed about it. So
right,
what do we do here when he wants to try to make up a different story?
Right, exactly. And Lana's like, hey, look, we met on Tinder or whatever. That's our story. Like, that's our story.
Yes.
So
it might not be the fairy tale meet cute that you wished you'd have, but the point is that you found someone who's your person, and it really
right,
doesn't matter how you found them.
Right. If you've got any suggestions for how Lana can go about getting her boyfriend on board.
Wait, Amy said, I met my wife in foster parent classes. We were both married to other people. Could always be a worse story, Lana's boyfriend.
Even there was a caution flag. There was
right,
a caution flag there, but they didn't pay attention to it. It was fine.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. 502-795-1997. 795-1997. Give us a call. Let us know your story. Advice for Lana. That would be great. We'll do that next on 997DJX. So Lana is dating a guy 6 months in, and she just wants to be very honest, because she has been honest with her friend group that, hey, look, we met on a dating app. He, however, is very kind of private about that whole aspect of how they got together, almost like embarrassed about it.
Yeah, he wants a different story.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and she's like, I don't want to make up a story. That this is our story, and
it's our truth.
Shouldn't be a big deal.
Right, exactly. Hey, Valerie.
I dated a guy for 4 years and met him on Plenty of Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dating website. And we used to tell people that we met at a library, but anybody that really knew us knew both of us didn't read. So it was kind of like an inside joke. But yeah, we were together 4 years and it went good. But yeah.
So, like, I guess, how would you suggest Lana go about telling her boyfriend? Or are you saying to Lana, just give it time and it'll work itself out? I don't know. What are you telling her?
I mean, I kind of feel like they should tell the truth. I mean, they could make it as a joke that they met at a library, too. So.
All right. All right. You're like, the library thing works. It works.
It is.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I mean, yeah, you could easily say, like, grocery store. You could make up any story. But the problem is she's already been honest with her friends.
Right.
So it's going to start to get awkward if they're telling a different story to people in his circle. Because if those circles ever, like, meet up, then that's going to get weird.
But at some point, you're going to have this conversation. So I think you just need to rip the Band-Aid off and be like, hey, look, Sean, this is how we met. You know, don't worry about it. Just tell him that there's no stigma here anymore.
I think the only way that we can get around this is we have to get him on board with telling the truth, because she has already put the story out there with her peoples. He's obviously got to see that can be bad news.
Right.
If we start telling two groups of people two different stories, because at some point, if this works out and we get married, they're all going to be at the
wedding. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Not yet.
Best case scenario.
Sure, best case scenario, but that's not the argument that you take. You just need to...
we don't say that to him. Like, listen, no. Sean, when we get married...
Yeah, when we get married,
everyone's
going to
be at the wedding.
And they're going to ask, and what am I going to say? What are we going to say then?
All right, so we somehow convince him it's fine, online dating is fine, and let's not shy away from the real story.
Yes, yes.
Okay. What words do we say? Do we say, hey, Sean, quit it? It's fine. Online dating is acceptable. End of story. Shut it down.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just get them on board with it in your own special way, Lana, okay?
And then when we're meeting his friends and family, we just blurt out before he tries to answer the question, we met online.
Tinder, swipe right. There we go.
Yep. Maybe that's what we do. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be on board with that, but
nah,
we're going to try to get him on board with it.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Hey, good luck. That's diving into the DMs on 99.7 DJX. All right, I'm going to throw this into the setting the bar category. That cool, Kelly?
Sure.
Look, Dawn has a surprisingly good outlook after realizing she made a $120,000 mistake.
Listen, I get the sweats if I let a 30% off coupon expire.
If you can manage to make it through the day without eating a potato chip worth $120,000, you're doing okay. And you're like, there is not one single potato chip worth that much.
Yes, why was it so expensive? And how did she figure that out?
So it was a promotion unbeknownst to her.
Oh, no.
The British version of Lay's called Walker's Crisps, right? So they had a promotion where they're like around Valentine's Day, where they said, hey, if you find a heart-shaped potato chip in your bag, take a picture of it, send us the bag and the chip, and you could win $120,000. So anyways, sifting through, you know, munching on some chips like she normally does, you know, or like you or I would. And she comes across this heart-shaped chip. She's like, oh, that's a funny-looking chip. Takes a picture of it, pops it in her mouth, and eats it. Then shows her friends, and her friends go, oh, do you still have it? She's like, no, I ate it. They're like, oh!
Oh, gosh! So wait, she did at least acknowledge the unusual shape.
Yeah,
and she took a picture of it, right?
Right, exactly.
But then she just ate it.
Right, right. She was like, oh my gosh. It's like when people see the face of Jesus in their grilled cheese. They're like, oh, wow, I'm going to take a picture of that. So she was probably thinking, oh, wow, this potato chip looks like a heart. I'm going to take a picture of that. That's kind of cool.
That's cute.
I know.
I'll show it to my friends. They'll think it's neat, and then I'll eat it because tasty.
Right, right. And so by the time her friends were like, no, don't eat the chip, she already had.
Oh, gosh. Did they not clearly print the promotion on the bag of chips? Like, hey, open this bag. If you find a heart-shaped chip, donate it. Take a picture of it. Send this bag and the chip back to us. You're going to... Like, they didn't print that on the bag of chips?
I mean, they probably did, Kelly, but are you reading every little piece of information on the bag of chips that you've probably bought the same brand of chips for the past 20 years and you just open up the bag?
In bold on the front of the chip bags, the special chip bags for the special promotion.
We're not going to tell Lay's how to run their promotion.
I am telling them how to run their promotion.
Although they probably did
that on purpose,
yes.
And they didn't have to pay it out.
But
so
I'm
this
saying
scenario would play out.
They also probably did say, hey, look for the heart-shaped chip.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, so she said, after, you know, the rules clearly state that you've got to preserve the chip and the chip bag. And so it's too late. Dawn was like, I was gutted, but it was not the end of the world.
Oh, wow.
And then said, the prize money would have made my life a little bit happier, or it might have made me miserable.
Oh, okay. So she's probably seen the lottery ruin my life.
Yes. So she's probably thinking, man, had I actually won $120,000, I'd have friends coming out of the woodwork going, hey.
Yeah, dodged a bullet on that.
Right, right.
Good
and so,
me.
You know, she's thinking, hey, look, maybe my life would have been easier. Maybe it would have been more miserable.
Either way, never going to know, but the chip was tasty.
Yeah, chip was tasty nonetheless. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking, like, what's the most expensive mistake I've made?
Ooh.
And I mean, other than wrecking station vehicles and things like that, and
you said vehicles,
yeah, vehicles. Plural. And I've sworn on the air before I didn't get fired, and we didn't get fined by the FCC. That could have been.
I cannot believe we didn't get fined.
I know that could have been a very expensive mistake. I do remember it was a long time ago. My mom was, you know, I was getting ready for school. So this was like when I was in grade school, maybe in junior high, something like that. Mm-hmm. My mom was listening to morning radio and they had a call-in contest. It was like $10,000 birthday contest, right?
Whoa.
So if
they had bigger budgets back then.
If this is your, you know, month, day, year, or something like that, it was like you could win $10,000. So anyways, they say, hey, if your month is October 24th, and so she had me like with eight numbers dialed, ready to hit send, you know, or hit the ninth, you know, number on the request line to call. And so as soon as they said her month, she was like, call. And so I hit it and it started actually ringing, but then they answered the phone and I freaked out and I hung up. So my mom was so mad at me. And she was like, you hung up. And like,
give me the phone next time.
I know. I freaked out. I froze up in the moment. And it's anyways.
Oh, wow.
So maybe that was one of the more expensive
mistakes.
I could have
cost your mom $10,000.
Yes. I probably did. We'll just say that. All right. So this is a sliced out of the in what the hell news. Okay.
Uh-huh.
When you're in a long distance relationship, you know, different couples do different things to try to stay connected with the person they love, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, there is a developer in China that is helping with this. In fact, he said his college long-distance relationship kind of inspired it. It is a remote kissing device.
A remote kissing device? What do you mean?
It's something that you attach to your phone, and it has warm, movable silicone lips.
Warm, movable silicone lips?
That simulate a real kiss through movement, pressure, and the temperature of the user's lips.
I clicked on the picture. I shouldn't have.
Yeah, it can convey kissing sounds in addition to the feel of a kiss. And apparently you download an app, you plug your phone into the charging port to kiss, and then video connect with your lover via the app so you can see their eyes. And then you can kind of send these kisses to one another through an app and then through this silicone warm lip.
No. Hey, China, we don't need this kind of a device. That's creepy. I don't know. Why are we wasting time and or money doing something like that? That is so, like, listen, you click on the picture. It is really bizarre looking. Like, who is going to do that? Who is going to do that?
Well, apparently there is a market for it because
it's there's not
being developed. And so you too soon could be able to feel the warm touch of your lover's lips.
No, that's not their lips.
Even if you are living apart.
No, this is weird.
Kelly, how many?
And creepy.
How many bottles of Arbor Mist would it take?
It would take 1,000. I'm not doing this. I will go without until I am able to see them again. No, sir. Nope.
I mean, nope.
That's the creepiest looking thing ever.
How many beers?
It is so creepy.
How many
for you?
How many beers would it take? I don't know.
How many for you, maybe, sir? I mean, your wife is out of town a lot, you know, performing gigs. Would you invest in something like this so that you can pretend to smooch her when she's gone?
I mean, I'm not going to say I wouldn't try it once.
Are you kidding me right now?
I mean, Kelly, sometimes you got to throw caution into the wind. You got to try new things. You got to live a little.
Okay. I'm going to need you to order that when it hits Amazon because you know it will. And I'm going to need video.
Hang on. Is it on there now?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Can we go to Amazon and
still in the prototype
and look up kissing lips?
Portion, I don't know. Well, maybe.
All right. We'll tweet this out so you can see the photo and you can see someone demonstrating it as well.
No. Oh my gosh, there are kissing silicone face, silicone lips for kissing. A lot of people looking this up on Amazon. They exist. Oh, I mean, it's not the same kind of thing, but yeah, there are a three-piece fake lip 3D silicone for $9.99.
Oh, all right.
And so it's on Prime. You can get it one day.
Ah, perfect. Order it and have it here tomorrow.
Okay, great.
All right. So, again, if you want to see it, at Ben and Kelly Show, we've tweeted it out.
I need to see video of you trying this out.
That would be like cheating. I can't do
it. Oh, is
to
that
just...
cheating? Not if you just like write on it like this is Elizabeth.
Well, no, I would have to have her on the other end of the phone. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, be able to plug it in and be able to see and hear her on the other end.
She's not going to be on board with this.
I mean, probably not. No, but you know, I'm just saying you're never going to get anywhere, Kelly, if you don't try new things.
Oh, great. Okay.
That's my advice. So anyways, at Ben and Kelly Show from the What the Hell News category, kissing device lets you kiss your lover over the internet.
That is so weird.
Look, Sean just had a really bad luck, didn't really even do anything wrong. So you're thinking, well, why, Ben, are you throwing him under the bus into a setting the bar story?
Well, because sometimes it's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
There you go. And that's where we are with this one. So if you can manage to make it through the day without having your truck stolen because someone pretended that they were you and had a locksmith literally rekey your truck, you're doing okay.
Oh, wow. That is involved.
I know it is. And these guys thought they had a genius maneuver by going to an airport parking lot, basically picking out an F-350 truck, calling a locksmith going, hey, sorry, I don't have my keys on me. Can you get me into my truck and rekey this so I can get home?
Like, sure, sir. We've made you a new spare.
Right, exactly. Locksmiths are supposed to check for paperwork and identification before doing any type of this sort of work, but.
But what if it's locked in the, glove compartment box?
Well, so.
It's in there.
Sean,
I'll show you later.
Sean is the truck owner talking about how the locksmith literally helped the thieves steal his truck.
To sit there and allow somebody to basically rekey it and steal it for 3 hours and nobody say anything or do anything to stop it is beyond me. So there were a lot of things that gave them the opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, hey, wait a minute. Maybe this isn't right. But the good news, I guess, is that he did wind up getting his truck back. It was found several miles away, but...
I was going to say, how did he figure out that's what happened? I guess after the fact, once he found the truck.
I believe there are cameras there as well, but
that's a bold move, a not realizing there are cameras that monitor the airport parking lot, and mm-hmm. B, you know, that the fact that they weren't going to be questioned at all, and maybe the locksmith is like, who is going to be bold enough to try to get a locksmith to help them steal a car?
Well, there you go. These people. Sean is in the center of our Setting the Bar story, but only because his truck was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He was an innocent victim.
Yep, there you go. That is your Setting the Bar story on 99.70JX. 99.70JX, good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. If you missed anything from the show, we got a lot of stuff to catch up on. WDJX.com, click listen. You can get the podcast there, and... there were legit lessons, life lessons learned during today's show, especially during little kid or drunk adult.
Yeah, we learned not to pick your nose with chopsticks.
I mean, these
are valuable information.
These are things that if you didn't know before, maybe you should know now.
Practical information.
Practical information for sure.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, you can catch up on the podcast there, WDJX.com. It is Radiothon week. So know that Thursday and Friday, this won't be the sign off of our show. We will be just on scratching the surface of what is still to come. So. We're going to be doing 6A to 6P thanks to Collins, Bill Collins Ford and Bear Nose and a whole bunch of other sponsors, Interstate Batteries, for helping making this all, possible. So,
we need you to prepare your ear holes, your hearts, your wallets.
Yep. All
because
that.
Because we need you to, be a part of this. It's once a year we get to do this. It's our 14th year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to share. And I love the fact that you can also, if you have a story that you want to share on the air, you can send it to us. And we would love to pass that along. Just, you know, how Norton Children's played a part in your family.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So, yeah, that is on the way. Guys, have a good one. We will talk to you tomorrow.